Hard Mark Podcast.
Shrimp on the barbie. Shrimp on the barbie.
Do you respect that?
That's corruption.
I could make a fake snake.
You not pee in the pool. You not pee
on the barbie. All of myself is clean.
Welcome to the Hard Mark Podcast, everybody. Rumpus Time is back. My name is Eric Donaldson. The purpose of Rumpus Time is to explore the mind of the weird and wonderful star of our program. He is the artist formerly known as the man of 54,097 compliments, the EVP of soul skiing development, the maitre d' of Matt Drama, the Tampa Bay Topsider, the living painting, the talent, Sammy Davis Jr. Go fuck yourself, because here comes the real Mr. Entertainment, Fly. Ryan Murphy. Ryan, how are you doing on this fine, fine day?
Very good. It's good to be back. Good to hear that tone.
It's like we never left.
Yeah. So
it's like good. It's like we've been together these past 3 months.
Right.
This whole time.
Exactly. Yeah.
The Mr. Entertainment thing was, so obviously we've been out for a bit. We will get into the reasoning for that momentarily, but the Sammy Davis Jr. reference. Ryan, maybe I'd say how many, like maybe 2 to 3 weeks after we stopped, you like messaged me like, hey, I kind of missed the podcast, which was like, I never in a million years would have expected to hear that from you.
I think we almost got on one and then, some things came up, but yeah, no, I did. I was just like, I don't know what happened. I was like, you know, it's a regular thing. And all of a sudden it stopped, you little withdrawals and, you know, I had to.
You are a creature of habit, a very, very routine-oriented individual, if there ever was one.
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm glad we could get, you know, it seemed like you kicked the habit, but we're back at it now. So hopefully this doesn't, you know, re-trigger your impulses or anything like that. But we're happy to be together. I'm happy to see Ryan's bright and shining face. I'm happy to have my voice broadcast out to the Markomaniacs yet again. But a lot of activities over these past few months. I have a child in my home now, a child that was birthed by
your own.
It is my child. I'm 99% sure. And then, it's good. She's just over at the time of this recording. Anyway, she's a little bit over two months old. She's going on 9 weeks here in just a little bit. And, she just started smiling and I don't know. I mean, what do you want to know, Ryan? What are you curious to know about this whole baby process?
You know, I'm not much of a baby guy.
Okay.
I think babies are weird.
What does that mean?
I just think all babies look the same, you know, like.
that's racist, Ryan. That's actually pretty racist of you to say that.
But once they start like getting a little bit older, then they're kind of cute and they're funny, you know, like it's just at the very baby stage, the, you know, infant.
Sure. There's not a lot of personality.
Like you said, like now, you know, they're starting to, you know, just smiling. I don't know. I've never had a baby. So, I'm a cat guy, you know, give me a cat and when do they start doing stuff? When do they start like moving and crawling? And like, is that you guys got to baby proof the house soon, or is that a year old? I don't know. Like,
I mean, I don't think it's like a pressing issue. Let's see. I've looked this up before. I think it's around like maybe 6 months or so. When do babies crawl? Oh, 7 to 12 months old. Usually.
You're getting there.
I mean, we're still a ways out, but yeah,
when do they start podcasting?
I think that's at like three years.
3 years. 36 months.
Right, yeah, exactly. Another 6 months. Math whiz, Ryan Murphy.
Yeah,
right. It's I'd never changed a diaper before. So like I don't know that I'd go so far as to say the same thing as you, is like I'm not a baby guy. Like I tended to gravitate more towards like little kids, because like once you can communicate with them, like that sounded weird. I enjoy like interacting with children, because like you can, there's that give and take, and you can kind of like, you know, do comedy bits with them and stuff like that. Babies, there's none of that. You can't really rely on any of those things. So like I was always somewhat baby neutral, maybe. I didn't really like holding other people's children. I'd never changed a diaper or anything like that. So, you know, for me, changing her diaper, the baby, Evelyn, in the hospital was the very first time I'd ever done that.
Is that like a lot to handle, like changing a diaper? Like,
yes. Well, I mean, it really not eventually, but like the first time, yes, it is overwhelming initially.
Yeah, I could see it being overwhelming.
Yes, because they will pee. Yeah. Like you've developed strategies over time, but like when you're just trying to get through it the very first time, you're just trying to get through it. Like I was just wasting half of a bag of wet wipes at a time, just like trying to like clean everything and stuff like
Did
that.
Did someone help you? Did someone guide you? Like do the first one, like a nurse or something? Or
I think the nurses. I mean, I'm sure they would have if I would have asked. I think initially I was just kind of like watching them do it, and like okay, you do that, and then there's the tabs and yada yada yada. And so I didn't have anyone like guiding my hand initially, but I will say, not to get like too graphic about it, as a man, if you were changing a girl's diaper, that is a strange phenomenon because like you don't want poop and stuff in a lot of those crevices.
Right.
So like it feels very invasive as a father, but like you have to do these things. So, you know, it is strange from that capacity. And like, you know, initially when I was changing those diapers, I'm sure I was probably going through like 2 to 3 diapers at a time, because then she'd start like peeing and she'd pee on the diaper. And it's like, well, that's no good. Now I got to toss that diaper away. And we were there. So like we had to basically get things started a little bit earlier than expected. My wife had a little bit high of blood pressure. And so they kind of had to start, basically they had to induce her early. And so we weren't expecting it. Like we went in for a routine doctor's visit. They checked her blood pressure and they were like, oh, we need to monitor you. And then as the monitoring went on, they were like, well, there's a good chance that we're going to have to deliver the baby, because like if your blood pressure spikes too high, that could be dangerous for both of you. And so we were not going into that appointment thinking that was what was going to happen. And so then it became like, yep, this is happening. And so I had to like run home, pack our bags really quick, because at minimum we were going to have to stay 2 nights. It turned into 3 nights, 4 days, something like that. Tuesday night. No, I mean, 2 nights is standard.
Okay.
So we were expecting, this happened on a Tuesday, Tuesday evening, just before 8 o'clock she was born. And so we stayed Tuesday night, Wednesday night. We're hoping maybe to get home Thursday. Although we were both kind of like skittish about like, oh gosh, this is a lot right now. Like having the nurses here to help is very beneficial. Yeah. Thursday didn't happen. So then we stayed Thursday night and then we stayed Friday night. So yeah, I guess it was 4 nights.
Yeah.
In a hospital, which I don't know how many like overnight hospital stays you've had, Ryan. Rough.
I know for sure. Even just being in a hospital for any time is.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have nurses constantly, especially because there's two people. Like if it was just one person they were checking on, maybe you'd stand a chance of getting some sleep here and there. But like they're checking on the baby, they're checking on my wife, you know, both are getting like care pretty regularly around the clock. And so it was just like like we were maybe getting an hour to an hour and a half of sleep per day. So by the time we left on Saturday, we were just dragging so much ass. Yeah. So much ass. And like,
you put your baby downstairs and you guys sleep upstairs to get some rest.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But I'd say probably the highlight of our hospital stay. So my wife, desperate to get some level of sleep, asked one of the nurses like, hey, is there anything you can give me? And so then the nurse was like, well, we have Benadryl. And so my wife was like, sure. Yeah, I'll take Benadryl. That's fine. And so they give it to her. I basically mentally prepared myself like, okay, you're going to be on baby duty all night.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. You know, that's fine. But, you know, at least Heather can get some sleep. And so I remember putting the baby down, like after a feed or a change or both or whatever. And I go to like lay down and I see Heather like Bambi legs, like the shaky Bambi legs, like when Bambi's just born in the movie.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
She's like that getting out of the hospital bed. I'm like, what are you doing? And so I like run over and I'm like, what's going on? She's like, the lights in the room are coming down to stab us.
Oh, God, she's tripping.
Yes. So Benadryl makes her hallucinate, as it turns out. And so she thought that somebody was controlling the lights in the room, lowering them to have them stab us. And so,
go ahead.
Do you have a question at this point, sir?
Well, I mean, so as she knows, she's never taken Benadryl, presumably.
Apparently she had, but like before she had, she was loopy, but she was just kind of conked out. This was the first time where she was like more or less wide awake and like experiencing the brunt of this thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I had to like, and luckily, so she's less these days, but like, especially when we first started dating, she was very like prone to, she would wake up and like see things. Like for example, I remember one time we were staying at a hotel and she thought on the ceiling of the room that we were staying in, that there was a man climbing a ladder, but the ladder and the man were both on the ceiling above us. And she was convinced of it. And she was like pulling the blanket up above her head and stuff like that.
Whoa.
So like, again, that hasn't happened as much, but like countless times of like, she would dart up in bed and like look at the TV and be convinced that like whatever people were on TV were in the room with us and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I got you like, eventually I kind of got a way of communicating with her a little bit. And so the Benadryl incident was more or less like that. Like, no, they gave you Benadryl. I think you're just like reacting to that. The lights aren't moving. Like we're fine. Like she thought her dad was in the room with us. Eventually she starts to kind of like come down and like, she's processing everything. She's like, and as she's laying back down, she's like, oh, I must just be a bad politician. And she lays her head back down on the pillow. I'm like, this is going to be a long goddamn night.
Was she like hooked up to stuff too while she's like getting out of bed, or was she pretty much at that point?
She was still hooked up to some stuff. Like at one point in time, they had her like on, over the course of the stay, like at one point in time, like fentanyl, she was on.
Yeah.
Fet dog. all over the place. Oxy, she was on for a little while. They had her on blood pressure medicine. So, like, there was a bunch of stuff they had her on at various points of this thing.
For, like, the delivery? Or is
yeah.
That for, like, oh, is that? Oh, okay.
Like, they had, like, so it was a C-section. And so, yeah, they had her on meds as a result of it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so that was kind of just like the less than ideal parts, but like being there in the room, seeing the baby delivered, like seeing her the moment she came out was like, it was wild. Like I was so overcome with emotion in a way that I had never been
interesting
in my life.
You hear that. And then I guess maybe you just have to like experience it, you know?
Yeah. That time leading up to it, you know, obviously you've got the 9 months. In our case, like, we were going through like IVF and other stuff too.
Yeah,
so it's like so much work to get to that point. And it's like, just, you're overcome like, oh my gosh, like it, because there were definitely points where I was like, I'm not sure this is going to happen.
Yeah.
I'd started like bookmarking like adoption agencies and stuff like that. Cause I was like, this IVF route may not take. It's very expensive to do. Like, luckily my insurance covered a good chunk of the kind of cost for what we did do. But like beyond that, it would have been out of pocket. So it's like, gosh, I don't know that we can swing that. So yeah, it was a lot.
Ready for baby number two now?
That's right. Yeah. So now we're gearing up. Let's mark your calendars.
Yeah.
Now we're good. Now everything's
good.
Fine. Like, we've got a nice little rhythm that we're in now. I'm sure it will change once, because like my paternity leave is going to start a little bit later in the year. She'll go back to work right now. Usually we'll feed the baby around 10 or 11 at night. She'll wake up for her first feed around 3. That'll be Heather's. She'll change her, feed her, put her back to bed. Then she'll wake up again around 6. That'll be mine. And I'll just usually stay up with her and kind of keep an eye while working. at that point in time. So it's been fine, and I haven't felt like super sleep deprived. It's been nice.
That's good. Yeah. Because that would be my concern. Not the baby for me. My sleep.
Yes, absolutely.
No, man, congrats. I know. Yeah, it was a long time in the works. So that's really cool that you guys are. I mean, you guys have you brought a kid in this world, and now you're doing all the kid things, you know?
That's right. We're a couple of kid folks. And I think I mentioned this before we started, but now she's smiling. She just started smiling for the very first time nice. Earlier this week. I got here. I'll show you. There she is.
Oh, that is a smile.
Yeah. So babies, I didn't realize babies do smile early, like, but it's all digestive, like it's just kind of involuntary stuff. Now she's actually looking at you and smiling as a result of things.
You can do stuff and get a reaction.
Yeah, like, so now we're finally starting to get a little bit of that interactivity, which is, you know, nice. I like it. So
good deal, man.
yeah. So that's kind of the main stuff with all Eric over here. I'm sure I'll provide more baby updates as we go along here. But Ryan, you got a kitty cat.
I got a cat, and this story is just going to be way longer than the baby. That's an important stuff.
Please take all the time you need.
She's smiling right now. Actually, she's just sleeping. She doesn't do anything but sleep. You
they
know,
sound like they have a lot in common, actually.
Right? Yeah. A cute cat. You know, I'm a cat guy. So
if anyone was unaware, Ryan, big cat guy. Well, it has to be told. I have to mention to the audience. I know that you've changed this cat's name since, but for the man that hates pasta, we all hopefully remember the infamous Olive Garden story where it turns out Ryan hates all things pasta, so he ordered a Caesar salad, which doesn't even exist on their goddamn menu because he didn't read it. He gets this cat, and the cat's name is Penne. Spelled P-E-N-N-E, like the very clearly named after the pasta.
We had to get that changed immediately.
The government must recognize that I hate pasta. Yeah. So now Gabby, named after a character from Disney's Brink.
Yeah, Gabriella.
Yeah, Gabby for short.
Gabby for short.
When she acts up.
I call her Gabs mostly. Mm. I just keep it one syllable, you know? But cute. Gabby, Gabriella. Full name, yeah.
Would you consider changing it again if you started dating a lady named Gabby or Gabrielle? Would that be weird to like have your cat named?
I don't think so. That's just fate, you know.
You just got to own that. You have to embrace that.
Yeah. No. I woke up today. Did you say, "Hey, today I'm going to talk. Today I'm going to skate." I wanted to get that line in there somewhere. You know?
You did it. I'm glad I didn't walk. I'm glad I didn't interrupt it too. You got a clean line in there.
You think it was clean? Yeah, I felt like, you know, a little bit. I had to work it in, but yeah.
You forced it a bit, but I didn't interrupt you, and that's the part I'm most proud of.
You can do that. You can edit that in post. You know, make it work. Yeah, you know, just put it wherever.
I will do that.
Belongs.
Nowhere. It belongs nowhere. So cat happened, and we talked a little bit before we started recording as well. So Denver, if you had to give Denver 1 to 10 score, where are we at right now in your?
It's my favorite. I like it more than Seattle. Like, it's
wow.
Pretty, yeah. No. It is a great. It's pretty like. I don't know. I would say like it's heavily like lean. Like the city is, you know, probably 25 to 40, like it's a pretty young city, you know, like people come here, like it's people are flocking to Denver, so like there's a lot going on, really cool parts of town. It's not huge, you know, but it's like it's definitely a city. I mean, you've been there, I love the city, yeah, and I'm not a big city guy either, so for me to like be like, oh yeah, like I want to go take a walk through, I could basically walk through all the city in like, you know, 15 minutes, you know, get down, but like it's a cool place. I would recommend, like, way more than Vegas. You know, I like it way more than mm-hmm. Vegas.
Well, we'll see where the future takes you. We'll see if you end up.
I don't think I rated it.
You didn't actually answer my question. You're good at that.
Yeah, I give terrible ratings. Sometimes I rate too high, sometimes I rate too low. I never get it right.
It's no Tampa. It's no Tampa.
I give
we
it like
7.7.
7.7.
Is that what you're saying? 7.7?
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
On pizza scale.
You're going on a 100-point scale here for cities.
Yeah, I think you have to throw a decimal point in there. It doesn't make any. I think it's a fair way to rate 1 through 10 nowadays. So if you're caught up and in the game, there.
That's true. Know. Shout out to Electronic Gaming Monthly and their cool 10-point with decimal scale. can't slag the classics. Well, so anything else worth mentioning to the Markomaniacs? Anything else of interest that people should know about? I do have a thing to rank. But we don't have to rush to that. If there's anything else that I should know, that the Markomaniac should know, that's going on in your life.
Well, if I think of something which I'm probably missing, I will jump in and just say it later, you know.
That's true. No, no injuries.
No injuries, yeah.
Okay.
My feet feel they're 9.9.
What's keeping them from a solid 10, Ryan? Are they ever gonna be 10s again?
I don't know if they'll ever be a perfect 10 again from what they were, but I'm not noticed the pain anymore. I don't think about them. I've never had, I walk I don't think about it. I play basketball. You know, I'm breaking ankles out on the court now, you know.
Are you really playing? You're not playing basketball.
A little basketball.
Do
little
you?
Basketball. A little b-ball, yeah.
Okay, between tiki parties?
Between tiki parties. even at tiki parties.
Oh, wow. You're the basketball guy at the tiki party. That's pretty cool. I'm going to ask you another question that I'm positive I know the answer to. Mufaletta.
Mufaletta.
You have
a great food city, so no.
Fuck off. I already found a place that does Mufalettas in Denver.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, Eric, come on out, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't have anything going on. It's fine. And then the other thing I was curious about, because I know we exchanged text about it, Great American Beer Fest. Are you going to make that happen?
Isn't it this weekend?
No, it's a month from now.
Oh, September. I thought it was August.
No, I'm almost certain it's not.
Are you? Hold on. But yeah.
Well, this answers my question, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, you might be right. It might be the 28th.
The 21st through the 23rd. So you got about a month.
Of September? Okay. Possibly, it is a little, it's $100 to get in, right?
I would say if you have at least, somebody else to go with.
Yeah,
that would be great. If you're just going to be going there solo, I don't know that it would be the best experience.
Well, Dad's a big beer guy. He's a big craft beer guy. So he might be. He's always in Denver too.
Has he been yet? Has he done it?
I don't think so, because Fort Collins is also a big brewing town, so he just kind of stays there.
Yeah.
but I don't think he's done it. But maybe I'll go with my dad. Check it out.
Yeah, do it. I don't know if he has a birthday or anything coming up. That could be a fun little birthday present or something. Just make up an excuse to take him.
It's close to my mom's birthday, and he'll have to take me.
Just pitch it to your mom that way. I'm gonna get dad out of the house for you.
No, yeah, right. Yeah, no, I'd like to check it out. Especially, I think it's at the convention center, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Best beer fest ever.
Report back when I, whether I go or not, I will report back either way.
That's all I've ever asked is for diligent reporting.
Transparency, yeah.
Full transparency. Are you ready to rank Ryan? I should do the official thing. Ryan ranks it.
A wave is like a twister.
Are you ready for this episode's ranking, Ryan?
I'm totally ready.
I can tell. Sometimes, I would hope after 3 months off that you would be,
I'm fired up.
Fired up, bringing the energy, and you are. And I can't claim otherwise. I can't, nor would I ever want to, but I cannot claim otherwise. And I've got one that I think you will be somewhat of an expert in, something of a, as close as a expert that we can get in this sort of category, good. Master of what is the expression that I'm trying to think of with my dad trades. Brain right now?
What? Trades? Master of all trades?
Yeah. Jack of all trades. Master of none. Something like that. So we're towards the end. I don't know specifics. I'm sure, Ryan, you're going to tell me. We're towards the end of the baseball season. Would that be correct to say?
Yes.
Okay.
The dog days of summer is what they call this portion of the baseball season.
That's August. Right. And Ryan's got that dog in him.
Some would say.
I would say that. Your Seattle Mariners, I believe, are in first place, if I heard correctly the other day.
No, that is not correct.
What? Was I not paying attention when people were talking about this?
Yeah, unless something's changed drastically in the last like 2 weeks, no, that's not correct.
I think with the game last night, they got into first place.
Oh my God, you're right.
What? Okay, you're. See, I knew you're a phony ass baseball fan. This just proves Eric, it.
Eric, here's the thing though. Like, I don't have. I live in Denver and I don't have cable, so I can't follow this team as closely as I would. But you are. That is crazy news to me. Like, I was just. I swear, 2 weeks ago, I was checking out the standings. They were in third. They were six games back from first place. This is. They must have gone on some last 10, 9-1 in the last 10. Look at, I'm sorry for people who, but the Rangers went 2-8 and the Astros went 4-6 and the Mariners went 9-1. That's where the switch came from, Eric. All right.
I'm looking at that too. I know how math works, Ryan.
Okay. I just want to, I checked this 10 days ago. We were six games back. That is it. So this is big news. This is,
I'm glad I could be the bearer
of
good news.
I'm gonna have to get a little MLB.TV. And Eric, if your sister wants to subscribe and then I can like use hers, that's fine. <you know? laughs>
I will tell her that offer is on the table. Anyway, yeah, so your Seattle Mariners are in first place. As of the time of this recording, by the time I edit this, who the fuck knows what it'll be. But to tie in with that, have you gotten any baseball games this year, this season?
I've been to two Rockies games, yeah.
Oh, okay, nice. All right.
Yeah.
Well, with that in mind, Ryan, I'm going to have you rank baseball stadium snacks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are they like, let me ask, are they just generic baseball foods, or are they like specific, like new stuff, just trendy stuff? Like, what are we, general baseball stuff?
I mean, I'm talking general baseball stuff.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Like if we want to include a trendy thing, we can,
no,
but
it's okay.
I can't keep track of all like the Shaq's Big Chickens of the world and shit like that. Okay. So as we always do with these rankings, in fact, I should get my phone out so I can take a proper, accounting of this. So I have to figure out what the ketchup of baseball stadium snacks would be.
Have you not looked at this already?
No, I already have the list together. I'm just trying to figure out the order to present them to you. So the ketchup of baseball stadium snacks, I'm going to say, is popcorn.
Oh, that's a good pick. I thought you were going to go somewhere else and I was going to be frustrated with your pick. popcorn. I don't hate popcorn. I think it's like, I have like a couple of reserve bags, you know, just in case I get really hungry.
Okay.
But it's not my go-to, and I think Cracker Jack's probably more of a baseball thing, you know?
Sure.
But popcorn, I mean, I would start this at 5. I don't even think it deserves 4.
Wow, really? That's surprising. Because you own popcorn.
Wait, let me, okay.
Actually, are you saying it's not good as a baseball snack?
Let me take this back a little bit. I am going to put it 4 because if I'm thinking in baseball snack terms, not my terms, baseball snack terms.
Yeah, please.
I'll put it 4. I just think there's like so many better options that we're about to like come through that it can't sit very high. Like I could put it number 1, but it's going to drop, you know, like.
Sure. Yeah. So. We don't want to waste all that energy on something that's not
going to
stick.
I don't want to have to re-rank here. I'm trying to be efficient. You know, it's an algorithm.
Yes, definitely. I will say. Let's see. My wife enjoys popcorn quite a bit. I really, as the years have gone by, I actively don't like popcorn anymore.
It gets in your teeth a little bit.
Yes. And it's painful. Like sometimes like it's really like the shell wedges in between your tooth and gums.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a stray kernel and you're just biting down on a kernel.
Oh. For sure. And it can be a little bit of a dance in the microwave. Like, okay, is it stop popping? Are you going to burn it? Like, are you popping every kernel or have you burned it at this point? You know, like,
yes.
Eric, like you have to take a step back. Yeah, baseball game though. You're sitting at a baseball game. What are you thinking? Like popcorn? You like it there? Like at?
I would never order popcorn for myself at a baseball game.
I'm with you. So I put it 4 to start. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And to even make popcorn like good, you have to slather it in so much butter that you're going to give yourself a heart attack. So it's like it's a real push.
Yeah, I like to put a little like cayenne pepper, a little hot sauce on it. You know, if I can, But you can't do that at a baseball game. You're just getting straight butter popcorn, you know. So,
friend of the show, Colton, who supplied my new microphone. Tell me, people, if you're listening to this and you could tell any difference between the last episode and this one. I'm curious. I'm not good at audio mixing, so it's entirely possible that if I was, that it would sound better. But I'm curious if anyone can tell a difference with my new deluxe microphone. But anyway, Colton did challenge you to a spicy chip challenge eating contest.
No, no. Are you talking about that like blue chip like thing? Like
it was something. I'll have to go back in the logs, but he did challenge you.
If he wants to sit down with me and do like spicy hot sauce on chicken wings or something like not bullshit, like fine, Colton, I'll sit down with you. But I'm not doing this one chip challenge thing. I'm not ruining my like whole digestive tract, which is already fucked up, you know. Like, so I'm not putting anything else down it. But like, hey, spicy chicken wing challenge, progressively get hotter, like, you know, hot ones or whatever, like, fine, yeah. Let's do it, you know.
The last dab.
Last dab, yeah, I'll do the last dab. Call him pussy.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
No, I accept your apology. He will not, but I did. Okay, let's move on to, we'll switch it up, because you've already even name-dropped a couple that I think are obvious ones. Yeah. Let's switch it up a little bit. Dippin' Dots.
Oh, that's a good one.
I agree.
I guess they'd be better at a baseball game. I'm more of a Dippin' Dots to like a hockey game for some reason. That's where I've had it. But let's say baseball, right? You're out in the hot sun.
Uh-huh.
And Dippin' Dots is the best form of ice cream, hands down, you know?
Wow, really? You're going out on that limb of saying Dippin' Dots is the best form of ice cream? Is it because you love astronauts?
Without question, it is the best form of ice cream, hands down. Wow. And I like all ice creams, but Dippin' Dots doesn't miss ever.
Can you eat Dippin' Dots?
No, I'm lactose intolerant, so I still can't eat Dippin' Dots, but like I will.
Okay. What does it do to you? Just makes you a little gassy?
I will sacrifice my future self for my current selfish.
I will give myself immediate pleasure for the future pain.
It's like the story of my life. But yeah, no, I think Dippin' Dots could go like, I can't put a number one. That's going to have to be a reserved spot right now, but I'd easy number two. Like,
wow, really? I didn't expect you to.
Like that hot day, cold Dippin' Dots. Like, sure. You know, like
it's summertime. Like, you know, I'm surprised that you do Dippin' Dots in a cold hockey arena.
That's kind of where I found them. Yeah. Like at the Everett Silvertips games, like Dippin' Dots. I remember I blew up a bathroom, like my friend's bathroom, after I had a shitload of Dippin' Dots and I got called out for it. Like his sisters were there. So they're like, oh, maybe that's where it like sticks really in my memory.
That's why you have such a love of Dippin' Dots. It's because you secretly enjoyed getting shamed for it.
I think I went from like the upper bathroom and I was like, this is so bad, I have to leave and go to the lower bathroom. Like, come on. So it was, yeah, that's kind of like, but they've always been like, yeah, like a hockey, but I could totally, they just fit in a baseball game. A hot summer day, you get some Dippin' Dots. It makes sense, you know?
Yes. I think when I think Dippin' Dots, I think baseball and I think county fair.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah. I'm looking at actually the site, right? Which, quick aside, there was a interaction between me and senior hemorrhoid correspondent Chris Paxton recently where we were talking about blowing up other people's bathrooms, and like him saying that reminded me of the bit. And I wish I remember which episode it was, because I wanted to like send it to him and I couldn't remember. But the bit where I came up with what you do to avoid that situation, like to blame it on somebody else who was like presumably in the bathroom before you, Ryan.
Okay.
Leave the toilet seat up when you leave.
Wait, okay. Oh, let me make sure I'm like understand. Is it because like I'm so disrespectful that I never put the toilet seat up? Like, what is it?
No, because how could you have blown the toilet up with your poop if you were just peeing? And the reason they know that you're peeing is because the toilet seat was up.
That's a fair argument. Okay, fair enough. I usually pee with the toilet seat down. I just don't miss.
Ryan, don't miss Murphy.
I've only blown up a couple of bathrooms, you know, so, but I think if you need a little bit of an exit strategy, you know, if you're going to do it, like, so like that could be step one. I don't think it's good. I think you're living in an idealistic world where that gets you out of it.
Yeah. You just say, hey, it wasn't me. It was the last guy. See, I left maybe you don't point out that you left the toilet seat up, because then it's like really obvious what's going on. You save that as like your ace in the hole. Like, I blew up the toilet, then how come the toilet seat is up?
just come out of the bathroom. No, the toilet seat's up. No one even asked. Like,
exactly. See, you figured it out.
Yeah. I like it. I think you got to think about these things and be, you know, be prepared, you know.
Did you know that
there's a skit. I'll send it to you now after we do this, but there's a skit exactly about this, about like going into the bathroom and then like you're like, oh damn, someone did blow this up, but now they're gonna think it's me, so I have to step out and say, hey, it wasn't me. Like,
right,
you know, specifically around this conversation. So
this sounds actually familiar to me. I feel like I maybe have seen it. What last question around Dippin' Dots? So it's number two. Do you have a preferred flavor? Like, what do you? What's your go-to Dippin' Dot?
I'm a chocolate chip mint.
Oh, and, chocolate chip mint. Okay.
Yeah. Always like the blue and green, turquoise, whatever it is. Yeah, I like those.
Okay, they're available online. Just so you know.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You could be the
blow my own bathroom.
That's right, the sanctity of your own home. Dippin' Dots. Great. Not Dippin' Dogs, Dippin' Dots. Thank you, autocorrect. All right, let's go back to a staple. Let's go back to a staple of the Americana that is Major League Baseball. Peanuts.
This is one of the ones that can fit in a number one slot, I think. I love peanuts. I love everything about them. I love cracking the shells and then throwing them on the floor at a baseball game.
It is a sensory experience.
And peanuts just taste good anyway. And like, unless you get the unsalted ones, which, you know.
Yeah.
But you want to get salted, obviously. So we're talking, yeah. I mean, you just crack them, pop them in your mouth, throw them on the floor. Like, there's something about that's, and it's so baseball too. Like, it's maybe the most baseball thing.
Yeah.
It's going to get tough with, I think, some of the other ones that are going to get brought up here. I think for a, especially like if you're drinking $14 beers, you want to keep your stomach a little lighter. You don't want to fill up because, you know, like if you want to have a good, so peanuts are a great little snack at the game and it's just baseball. And I put it number one. We'll see how I, you know, feel about this, but I would put it number one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Peanuts. Wow. Peanuts number one with a bullet, high in protein. Good for you. Can I ask a really quick question?
Sure.
Because you mentioned the salted versus unsalted, and this is another food that I rarely will order. Is the shell what's being salted, or is it the peanut itself is being salted?
It has to be the shell, right? And just soak in, because how could the peanuts inside be salted? It has to be the shell. And like, there's flavors too that you, so it has to be the shell. They're just soaked in it.
And then it just gets through to the nut?
I'm telling you yes with all certainty, but like
you are good at that.
It would be so like the other option would be right, they like
open up the shell and then glue it back together. Like,
yeah.
Perfect. Well, we figured it out. That's what happens in my mind now. Okay, we're gonna go again because there's so many like conventional ones. I wanna mix it up a little bit.
Okay. Yeah,
this one is conventional, but I was not thinking about this until somebody unlocked this memory in my brain. And then I was like, oh shit, that needs to go on this list. Ryan needs to rank this. So hold on to your butt here, Ryan. It's kind of similar to Dippin' Dots, but it has its own unique spin. Ice cream served in a novelty batting helmet.
There's one at Coors Field that does this. And that's baseball, right? Like
that is baseball. Like is there a better childhood moment than going to a baseball stadium, getting your little souvenir, like way, I'm sure it's way overpriced, take home batting helmet, with your ice cream in it.
Yeah. I never got one as a kid, so it's not striking a, you know, kind of a huge core with me, but like,
but you can still respect it as a child. You could look at it and be like, oh man, 100%, that's fucking
cool. I respect it now.
Like I never had a big wheel, a power wheel. I never had a power wheel growing up, but I like always respected like, oh yeah, shit, yeah, I would love to have a power wheel.
Shoot. I mean, especially if we're talking baseball games, I mean, Dippin' Dots have my heart, but like that's more as like a food, you know? So I could put this number two, like,
oh, wow.
Now. No, I think you're right. Like there's this, going to a baseball game and getting cool shit, like a ice cream in a helmet. Like you have that helmet on your shelf for you. I would probably still have it, you know, like here.
Probably maybe other things didn't make that move with you, but that batting helmet with the ice cream.
The ice cream, you're having a great time and then you keep the helmet and it's
wow. So you're, a baseball this is thing, two.
You got to put it high. Yeah.
In a novelty batting helmet. Okay. All right. Perfect.
I feel like there's going to be, what do we have? You have five or six, because I feel like you're missing one, but
apparently
I know the next one, but
I have six. I didn't. I thought I had five. I have six.
Okay.
All right. But these all felt like required things.
Okay.
Cracker Jacks.
I mean, it's in the name of the song, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Which the other one that was named in that song is number one currently.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like Cracker Jacks.
What even are Cracker Jacks? What are they?
Just coated popcorn, right? Just coated with some like caramel stuff or something. Like
that sounds right.
I don't love them. But it is very baseball. Like, I guess like if you're into that. What do I have here? So I have peanuts, ice cream helmet, Dippin' Dots,
popcorn at four.
I would just move popcorn down to five and put Cracker Jacks four because it's in the name of the song. You know, that's how
That's it. You would not prefer to eat Cracker Jacks over popcorn, but because it's featured in the song, it gets top yeah, billing over yeah. popcorn. Okay.
Yeah.
It's molasses flavored, caramel coated popcorn.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah. I just don't love it. It's not my thing.
I've never liked it. I've never, ever liked Cracker Jacks at any point in time in my life. I've always been like, what the fuck is this?
It's very like old school, like New York douchey thing.
Dude, I don't know that I've ever heard it described that way, but sure. We'll say mm-hmm. that. So that's five. We got one more. Hot dogs.
I mean, that's the only thing is I'm not a huge, I like hot dogs. I do like hot dogs, but I don't love hot dogs, you know, like I'm a hamburger over hot dog guy. So like,
same. Yes.
But I mean, it's another, I love like a hot dog with some mustard on it. Like, there's just so much in here that this is making it really hard to rank. Let's see. So peanuts number one.
Yes.
I'm just going to, you know what I'm going to do? Because we're talking baseball foods, I'm going to put hot dogs number two and bounce everything else down one. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay. Okay.
If Cracker Jacks or peanuts have to fall out of that, that's fine. You know, or not peanuts. Sorry. If popcorn has to fall out of the ranking, that's fine. I don't have an issue. I can sleep tonight, you know?
It's your call. Do you want popcorn as a number six, or do you just not want it on the list and keep it?
I mean, we got to keep it five. You know,
we got to keep it five. We got to. People are going to be upset otherwise.
I want to mention one, and I know this isn't the point of this, but if we're talking baseball foods, I want to mention one honorable mention.
Please.
Doesn't have to be in this list, but it just needs to be talked about.
Yeah,
especially as a Seattle garlic fries.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Is that a thing elsewhere? Like, to the Rockies Stadium?
You don't smell it when you go to Rocky Stadium like you do when you go to State. You know what I mean? Like you stand outside State, you can smell the garlic fries.
Yeah.
You can't smell it outside Coors Field, but like, I don't know, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But like, I just, again, I don't want to put it, I could put it somewhere, but like honorable mention, garlic fries.
Okay. I can co-sign that for sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I'm right there.
It's just a little blanket over everything, you know?
Garlic. And then just smell yourself the entire rest of the day.
Yeah.
Just go to bed and you're just like, oh my God, I stink like shit right now. All right, so final ranking of baseball stadium snacks. We got peanuts at number one, a strong number one, salted peanuts preferably. Hot dogs at number two, ice cream served and a novelty batting helmet three, Dippin' Dots four. We got the little cluster of ice cream there. And then five, rounding out the baseball stadium snacks is Cracker Jacks, on account of them being featured in the famous song Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Well, that's our ranking for this Rumpus time. I hope everybody enjoyed that. Ryan, I hope you came out of that, you know, feeling uplifted.
I did. Yeah.
Good.
I feel in that usually sometimes I'm a little, I go to sleep and I think about my rankings in my head and I'm, you know, but I think I'm going to be okay with this one. You know?
Yeah. If anything, I would feel bad if any of these conversations impacted negatively your ability to perform at that tiki party later.
Right. And I appreciate you being on top of it. You gave me one that I can live with. Some of the ones really get to me, you know,
which for the record, in case anyone was unsure, if you or anyone that you know were wanting to look at everything that Ryan has ever ranked in the history of this program, I have everything posted on our blog spot or whatever it is page. It's in our link tree. You can find the complete ranking. Ryan, have you ever seen the ranking page?
No.
Of course.
Maybe at one point we go back and rank the rankings, you know?
I almost, as like the final The final thing before we called it for before the break, I almost had you do like a master ranking of like all the number one things. I still might. I hold on to the capability of doing that. Okay, so it's a WordPress site. Let me just send it to you really quick. We don't have to like spend a ton of time on this, but you know, just so you have it in front of you. So it starts. This is the hardmarkpodcast.wordpress.com site. Not only towards the top of the page do we have the famous Ryan Kendening photo featuring friend of the show Tony Tate in my unfinished garage, but we have the entirety of our match rankings with links to every match. So if you were curious specifically, like, oh, I wonder, you know, how Ryan felt about the number one ranked match. Well, you can go right to episode 58 and listen to it right there. Or if you scroll down a little ways, we've got the Ryan Ranks It section, which is literally listing out all the different things that Ryan has ranked on our Rumpus Times.
This is something, yeah, this is new.
It's not. I want to just... Yes, it is. Yes, it is new to Ryan. This is true. But for anyone who didn't know, like all this stuff is there. So if you're like, I remember he ranked the big tech companies, but I can't remember what he did. It's all there. Was there one in particular that like strikes you as like that was one? You know what one was that did hurt you? I remember it was the ethnic foods.
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, you make them not easy. Some of the time, it's not like some of the ones like I'm not like informed on. And I just don't like, you know, I think what do we do? Like that was like, I was like, I have no clue like what I'm ranking here. Like
cryptids. You were mad about the cryptids one.
Yeah. But like, so it's either, you know, it's either between that or like it's, you throw in some curveballs or some tough ones, you know, like just fair. Like, you know, you gotta
know when to hold them and know
you gotta
when to
ask them. The tough questions.
I'm quite the investigative journalist. If nothing else, that's what people have claimed me to be. So, but yeah, there that is for you, Ryan. So if you're looking for some inspirado before the tiki party, like, hey, how would you rank condiments? And then that can be a conversation starter with somebody. So just something to think about. But I think we're going to pivot, etc., to the end of the episode. So we have in the history of our program, Ryan, we've finished out these Rumpus Times a couple different ways. It's weird to think because Rumpus Time feels like a later edition, but we've been at it for a little while now. We've done the winter of Would You Rather. We've done the birds and bees of spring, which was keep one, cut one animals. It's not spring anymore. It's summer. Now, granted, it's towards the end of summer. We haven't had a whole.
Yeah,
we might extend this one out a little bit, but I came up with an idea. And this kind of marries the two programs together. I know traditionally we haven't done any wrestling stuff on these Rumpus Times, but the thought occurred to me, there's so many things in wrestling that I want you to see, but they don't translate well to like a match necessarily. So I came up with a list of stuff that like would be good for me to kind of show you at some point in time or another that maybe it features one of the people in our match. You know, hopefully there can be some sort of tie, but it may not always. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. But irregardless, it is going to be the summer of hot takes of summer, notable events in wrestling history. And so my idea was I would show you a clip. Something a prominent event in the history of professional wrestling, and then we just get your hot take, what you feel about it, and you know,
and I eliminate it if I don't like it,
and then yeah, you get rid it is purged from the internet if Ryan hates it. So that's the plan, but that's it, that's gonna be the thing. So I do have it, I think, pulled up here. This is a somewhat longer video than it needs to be. It's not like overtly long, but I'll send it to you this right here. So this is, before we start watching this thing together, this is Chris Jericho, who we saw a few episodes ago. Chris Jericho in WCW, he was claiming, and he'll get into the reasoning why, he's claiming to be the man of 1,004 holds.
I like that. That's my type of guy.
So whenever you're ready, go ahead, hit play. We'll watch this. We'll watch this together.
Play it. All right.
Yeah.
I was Nash. I'd go ask him.
I think what originally had concerned Hogan was the fact that all these brothers were behind him, And then do you remember Chris Jericho from a while ago?
Turned around. It was around.
Okay.
The group of the NWO members wondering who was next to step in front of him.
That has to be another possibility, Larry. Will it be someone from the NWO that decides to break away from Hollywood?
I go back to wrestling, and I just, these guys just have great hair.
I don't know what their hair care regimen is, but I got it. We got to replicate it.
He's not happy at all. He'll do anything.
You know what? I want to dedicate this match to the memory of Dean Malenko. You know, Dean, you let a lot of people down, a lot of people, including myself, down when you quit and went home after losing your match to me. You know, you aren't the first person to submit to the awesome power of the Lion Tamer, and you won't be the last, but you're the first that took your ball and went home. But Dean, you claim that you were trained by the best. Don't you think you've shamed your father's memory enough? He wasn't a quitter like you.
No, he's out of line, guys.
So I'm kissing you and your career goodbye, Dean. Because like the song says, in a mbop, it's gone. Thank you!
Mbop, it's gone?
He's a member of the Hansons now.
Gotta love a good Hanson reference. Okay, go ahead.
Hanson boy, like?
Yeah, the three blonde, long-haired Hanson guys. Yeah, mbop.
I would love to go to a wrestling event in Madison, Wisconsin.
Who wouldn't?
You know, the human life expectancy is, what, a little over 70 years? I think in the NWO, you got a life expectancy of about one.
Or until you get upset, gonna put him in the Lion Tamer quickly, and he's got it on.
He's got his neck bent.
Boy, Marty
Jannetty
didn't take long, and he tapped out on that one. That was one of the most impressive wins in a long time for Chris Jericho. Still the Cruiserweight champ, guys.
Marty Jannetty decided that he was going to live to fight another day, tapping out almost immediately as Jericho applied the Lion Tamer. Now what has he got?
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, since I took care of Mr. Jannetty so quickly, I came prepared. Excuse me. Malenko, you claim to be the man of 1,000 holds, but I counted, and you know about 60, but I know 1,004, and I wrote them all down. Here we go. Hold one, arm drag.
Wow.
Hold two, arm bar. Hold three, the moss-covered, three-handled family grudunzel.
Why doesn't he just mail us this list and we'll announce it?
Arm bar.
He just ran it.
Number five, the Saskatchewan spinning nerve hold.
This must be meathead microphone night.
Who's he listing off?
He's listing off his holds. He's the man of 1,004 holds. He's listing off all of his holds.
Oh.
Ten. Right hand. Okay.
Meet Erica.
Oh, what the fuck?
Are we going to watch this little commercial, too? Old.
I mean, fuck, maybe we should. I don't know.
What is this?
Oh, okay, there we go.
712. Arm bar.
Can we physically get him out of the ring?
I can.
Oh, okay, all right. Is that... Do we keep going?
714.
Yeah.
The Canadian.
Yeah, keep watching.
It's time for our chicken hour.
Can we get a kid to tell us when the drums are going? We can take off these stupid headsets.
And 23. Wow. I'm starting to get blown up here.
Yeah, boy, you're not kidding.
Hold number 723.
He blew up a long time ago.
Screwdriver.
Oh, is he just going to stay in the ring? I mean, are we going to get some officials out to move him along?
Still has several hundred more to go.
Are you taking up for him? Is that what
you're doing? I'm not taking up for him. I'm just trying to explain the situation.
Ixnay wants to hear everything.
Yeah, he wants to write him down so he can use him next match.
This is me listing off my compliments.
Yeah! To come out, fans, as we begin the second hour.
If Jericho keeps reading, maybe he'll learn a few.
The Super Blizzard.
Let me say this, and this is a long time coming. Being able to list them and run them down a lot different than being able to execute them. Wouldn't you agree, Mike?
100%, Tony.
Yeah, well, writing them down is one.
Have we seen any Prince I Can matches?
We have not. We probably will not either.
How about that?
You're not going to stand up here and dishonor his memory.
The Prince. Thank goodness for Prince Iakea.
Can I bring back Puka Shell necklaces?
You should.
Get him out of here.
Look. Give me my holds.
Who's that last one, that blizzard?
I don't know. Would you stop it? I don't care. I don't think the world cares. As a matter of fact, during the commercial break, I know the fans here didn't care.
I still got 200 more.
Here he goes. Back.
Memorize him, kid.
Okay, there we go. So, we just watched Chris Jericho listing off his 1,004 holds. Ryan, what did you think of that segment?
I mean, I especially liked when he was asking for all of them back, you know, like really like this is something he needed, you know, yes. Like my list.
Right. And it was on old school printer paper with like the tearaway sides and everything. Yeah. That was a especially nice touch. But yeah, so for anyone who's not seen this, essentially there's a wrestler in WCW named Dean Malenko, which actually was kind of the spiritual sort of inspiration for Ryan's nickname of the man of 54,097 compliments. Dean Malenko was the man of 1,000 holds. And so after he got beat by Chris Jericho, Jericho was in just kept ragging on him and ragging on him and ragging on him. And Dean Malenko like went away after his father died. And so Jericho's just burying him over and over and over. And then he starts claiming himself to be the man of 1,004 holds. And he's going to prove it by taking out the longest piece of printer paper of all time and claiming that he's going to read all 1,004 holds to the live audience over and over. And like, if you actually listen to the holds, he starts by saying arm bar, then he says arm drag, and then he makes up a move that's not even real called the moss covered three handled family Gradunzel, which I think is like a children's book or something. And then he goes back to armbar. So within the first four holds, two of them are duplicates.
You ever watched a like X Games match where they do like a trick and it's just like they're like, oh, it's just 360 McTwist Flybird.
Yes.
Separate, like, you know, it's like, how do you, you just making this up? Like,
yes, absolutely. Which I mean, you could probably make this. I'm sure you feel the same way watching a lot of wrestling matches when the moves are called.
I do. I even know the move and I make up a name for it. Like, you know.
But so we saw the version we saw was just kind of a YouTube video where they go to the commercial break. We saw like a little bit of like the starving kids in Africa need your help commercial. And then it went back to the program. But in reality, it was like a normal length commercial break, right? Apparently, what happened during that time was he like put the list down and like, I don't know where they were for that event or whatever. Let's just pretend they were in New York, right? Mm-hmm. He was basically like, Yankees suck, Mets suck, Giants suck. And then when they came back from commercial,
just to rile up the crowd.
So now the crowd's all boo, boo. Yeah. And like, it looks like he's been reading hundreds and hundreds of names the whole time.
That's slick.
And so he just jumped to the 700s.
So he started at one because I was, when we got back, he was like 700 deep. And like, obviously that commercial was cut, but I was like, that's a, you know,
yeah,
it's been a long commercial or, you know, but mm-hmm. That's a good way to, that's slick.
And so then of course, Prince Iaukea, who has not been featured on the show, we'll see if we can get around to a Prince Iaukea match, comes out. I was trained by Dean Malenko's father. You're not going to disrespect him. And then then Jericho powders out of the ring. And then of course,
to understand you.
What the hell?
That swear to God, that was me, but I don't know how I did it.
Either way. But Jericho powders out of the ring. His holds, a portion of the paper had been ripped. So he yells, give me back my holds! Give me back my holds! And then storms off. I still have 200 more holds to list. Yep. And so, that is the Chris Jericho Man of 1,004 Holds segment. Thoughts?
I mean, as far as like celebratory, like victory, I think it was very good. Very well done. I relate to this guy a lot.
You know? Yeah, sure, of course. As a man of 54.
Both of us have gray hair, first of all. And then
we can all agree on that, yes.
Yeah, so, but yeah, no, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was an entertaining finish to it. Better than a lot of them, you know.
If you had to give it a grade, let's say like an A to an F. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's some way of kind of
tired of my like decimal point scale. Like,
I mean, I just I don't know. Okay. I don't know how we want to like, you know, treat these, because I think ranking it may be overkill because we already do so many other rankings. So I just thought maybe it'd be a nice thing to put a grade
on.
I'd give it a
B plus.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Nice. Anything? What could he have done to make it an A in your eyes?
I the this is the thing with wrestling that always like gets me is that there's always something like, I'm like, oh, it's just wrestling. And then there's always something that's like over the, like I didn't see coming, you know? And there was nothing in there that like, I thought it was good. Like I didn't see, but like if he had brought like a layer, like, oh, I didn't see that coming. You know?
Okay. Okay.
Like he stands, like he gets a ladder and he gets on that ladder and he like, then I'm like, oh shit, that's, now we got an A minus, you know?
Okay.
Or who's the guy that came in? He gets on the ladder, reads him, and then like body slams this guy, like, you know, like, yeah.
Let it be known, Ryan will not give any A's to any segments unless they have ladders. I think that's what we can take away from this.
Got a ladder.
From this whole experience. All right. Anything else that the folks should know? I think we are going to be putting out another episode, so we're going to actually be watching a wrestling match and talking about it here. So stay tuned for that again once I kind of get everything edited. I imagine it'll be 1 week of separation. I don't know how quickly I'm going to be editing it, but it'll be coming out in a week's time. But anything else folks should know before we wrap this Rumpus Time up, Ryan?
I don't have a lot. I think we covered a good amount.
Yeah.
So I'm good. I'm happy with Rumpus Time. Where did Rumpus Time come from?
It came from Step Brothers. But like, I didn't realize it came from Step Brothers because I like Step Brothers, but I hadn't like seen it enough to like memorize it. My wife said it a lot, and so I just thought it was like a funny thing. And then when I Googled it, I was like, oh, it's a Step Brothers reference. But like, when Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly are like roughhousing or something after they've kind of like, you know, they've crossed that bridge of being enemies, and now they're friends with each other. But then the dad, the stern dad, is like, he comes in, Rumpus Time is over. And so that's where Rumpus Time came from.
Good. I like it. Settled.
But if you're not hard, everybody, get hard. Once you get hard, stay hard. Speaking of which, Rumpus Time is over. Thanks, everybody.
I blew up a bathroom, like my friend's bathroom, after I had a shitload of Dippin' Dots.